Chinese President Xi Jinping has concluded his three-nation tour of Europe after visiting France, Serbia, and Hungary. The tour, which marks Xi's first trip to Europe in 5 years, came as China seeks new cards to play amid escalating trade tensions with the United States. Did the Chinese leader return home with his objectives crossed off? And what were the key issues of contention? So on today's GMS Focus, we analyze President Xi's trip to Europe from an economic perspective with Professor Yang Junzhak joining us on the line. Good morning, Professor Yang.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, let's get started with maybe China's oversupply of the EV market. So the European Union chief Ursula von der Leyen told President Xi Jinping that China must stop flooding the European market with massively subsidized electric vehicles, calling for fair competition. So what is your take on the issue of China's oversupply?
Okay, well, it shows, I think, both China's aggressive industrial policy while Europe and United States, well, their position shows a clash between industrial policy and industrial policy. But in some ways, we've seen this pattern of oversupply before in trade friction. During the 1970s and 1980s, U.S. accused Japan of oversupplying the steel market and used oversupply as justification for installing trade barriers. So in some ways, this seems to be repeating history if you lived long enough. There are theoretical economic papers on trade wars which show that a deliberate oversupply by government policy can be used to take a major chunk of the global market by scaring competitors into staying away from the market. And that's why these governments invest in a market which is oversupplied. But some people are interpreting the oversupply of electric vehicles in this way, that China is trying to take over the global market. But I personally doubt that oversupply was deliberate. More likely, we've seen this as well, a combination of over-enthusiastic investors and entrepreneurs going into a new sexy market that everybody says is the industry of the future, much like what we saw at the beginning of the internet, beginning of the SNS, and what we are currently seeing with somewhat overinvestment in virtual reality that leads to a oversupply of these products in these fields. And then there's always a readjustment as the period of this newness wears off. And we see a rapid increase and then collapse, which could be small or which could be large, what we saw in the internet.com bubble, and then a readjustment. And Chinese electric vehicles may be following that same pattern because everybody said that electric vehicles are the industry of the future. A lot of private investors overinvested, especially in China, where there's a large market. But it's also true that China's policies helped this type of oversupply, in part because China wanted to rapidly advance its technology in green technologies, and in part to sort of like how U.S. is trying to de-risk themselves from China. China also wanted to de-risk themselves from U.S. trade retaliation and technology transfer limitations, and in part to stimulate the domestic Chinese economy by stimulating various industries, including electric vehicles. So the government policy did have a lot of role in creating this oversupply. Now China has an interest in actively seeking exports since their domestic economy is suffering from an effective recession due to the collapse in the local real estate and housing markets and the increase in domestic debt. So they seem to be going all out on electric vehicle exports. Now on U.S. and European side, if you consider environmental policy, then at least on paper, they should welcome this influx of cheap electric vehicles, perhaps partially subsidized by Chinese government. to facilitate transfer from fossil fuel vehicles to electric vehicles. And some environmentalists are saying exactly that. They should welcome these cheap imports from China. But for both U.S. and EU, the concerns about domestic automobile industry and jobs are overweighing possible environmental benefits. Mm. According to some U.S. Newspaper articles, U.S. is considering 100% tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles, up from the current tariff rate of 25%. Mm. And it's, again, it seems like what we've seen in the past. Industries like automobile, steel, semiconductors, and agriculture remain sensitive politically, and those fields always are focus for trade friction and because domestic jobs depend on it, they are causing a lot of controversy, especially from the Trump administration onward.
Let's also discuss Xi Jinping stopped by a sit down with a French leader. French President Emmanuel Macron invited Xi to a remote mountain pass in the Pyrenees for a special coordinated summit. Do we know what economic issues were discussed? And most importantly, what are the key takeaways from the meeting? Macron is known to have a more friendly relationship with Xi as opposed to the United States strained relationship.
Well, somewhat friendlier than the United States, right. But still. President Macron's position was that the current Chinese large trade surplus with EU in general and France in particular had to be addressed, mm-hmm. and Chinese government should be refraining from subsidizing Chinese industries and exports. So he was one of the more hawkish leaders on addressing the unbalanced trade between EU and China, mm-hmm. as well as Chinese subsidies. But the results of the meeting seem to be basically not much. Mm. There has been trade issues being raised, human rights issues being raised, and war in Ukraine being raised, but Xi Jinping did not give a firm position on any of those. On the other hand, France did get something. Reportedly, China had begun anti-dumping investigation on cognac in retaliation for Europe's unfair trade investigations in sectors such as electric vehicles and medical device manufacturing. And China had threatened to institute tariffs on these industries or exports from Europe. But after the meeting, the only real concrete agreement that both sides had was that China would not impose tariffs on cognac until investigation is finished. And to achieve this, apparently President Macron had a lot of vintage cognac on hand for their meeting in the Pyrenees, and also gave some nice bottles of cognac as present for Xi Jinping. Mm-hmm. President Macron did get something, mm-hmm. But only very limited to perhaps exports of cognac. Mm.
Maybe we should highlight Xi's overarching goal with his trip to Europe. President Xi's visit to Europe, according to various analyses, is aimed at creating an economic environment where the United States is less dominant and controlling damage to China's ties with the EU. Do you think Xi achieved his objective, trying to realize a vision for a more multipolar world?
Well, if that was his main goal, then perhaps he should have traveled more widely. He visited three countries, France, Hungary, and Serbia. And Hungary and Serbia are very friendly toward China. And the only, perhaps, country that needed a lot of diplomacy was France. Mm. So he really picked, in some ways, easy targets. Mm. But the problem is, since the Trump administration, there has been a wedge between U.S. and EU, and President Biden has not fully succeeded in resolving the wedge. So I don't think Xi's visit made the problem worse, the wedge wider. But the problem between EU and U.S. may not be getting any better. First, EU, especially Germany, had been more dependent on China than U.S. in general, And EU especially has been receiving a lot of investment from China, also is a major export destination for EU, especially Germany, which is causing a lot of disagreements with U.S. on how to deal with China, but also with how to deal with Russia during the war on Ukraine, because EU has been buying a lot of oil and energy from Russia, and by reducing their imports of energy from Russia, it has been causing a lot of inflation in European region, and that is causing some disagreements on how to deal with Russia, with the United States as well, and that's bleeding over into a lot of areas. Now, retaliation against China, retaliation against Russia, EU seems not as enthusiastic as the U.S. And further, going a bit further back, when President Trump imposed steel import barriers on imports to the United States, he imposed tariffs on European steel as well, and then criticized Europe on their lack of defense spending and threatened that U.S. may withdraw from NATO, threat which he repeated again a month ago and I think only a week ago as well. So the wedge is still there. When President Biden became president, he made some headways repairing the defense relationship, but he mostly retained tariffs on not only goods from China, but steel from European Union as well. In fact, last December 2023, he renewed tariffs on European steel for another 2 years to continue negotiations on overcapacity and low carbon production. So there is a wedge between the U.S. and EU. I think he is taking advantage of it. I'm not sure if he widened it during this visit.
Okay, and finally, the United States is ramping up its pressure on China, raising tariffs, banning imports of certain products. What is the European Union's stance on the intensifying U.S.-China trade war? Does their stance align at all with that of the United States?
Well, I think they're generally the same as the United States, but the feelings are not as strong.
Okay.
And then if you take a look at individual EU member nations, there's wide divergences. According to U.S. news sources, The current 25% tariffs on Chinese imports will not be removed in the near future, and President Biden is considering 100% tariffs on electric vehicles, as well as tripling the current tariffs on steel and aluminum from China, and raising tariffs on solar panels and medical supplies from China. Now, while the European Union is concerned with similar products, it is not always clear whether European Union will install similar levels of tariffs on Chinese goods. Europe does not seem to be as enthusiastic to put placing walls on Chinese products. As a whole, EU is also concerned, like the United States, on protecting intellectual property and is concerned with Chinese government subsidies into certain industries and assistance to certain industries, which probably led to overcapacity in areas like EV, solar panels, and steel. And they also do share concerns about economic security and secure supply chain, so much so that the European Union is also interested, like in the United States, to setting up domestic sources for semiconductors and EV batteries. But Chinese investment has been really important to European Union, especially countries like Germany, Italy, as well as former Eastern Europe countries like Hungary and Serbia. And for some European countries such as Germany, China was a major export destination. So European Union's concerns about China are perhaps more ambiguous, at least along the economic front. And for European Union members such as Hungary and Serbia, they are reportedly much more friendly toward China, though it is reportedly due to political issues more than economic, perhaps. Hungary and Serbia seem to be relatively favorable toward Russia in the war in the Ukraine, and because China is assisting Russia in supplying weapons and such, as well as China being major investors into these two countries, Hungary and Serbia seems to be much more friendly toward China, and they may be acting as sort of blocks when European Union country members talk about retaliation or protection against Chinese trade policies.
Thank you very much, Professor Yang, for today's insights. We'll speak to you again next week.
Thank you.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.